Many of you know I like often to start my messages off with a question. And I have one for you today on this Pentecost Sunday. What is the greatest river in the world? Now, the answer to that would probably depend on how a person measures greatness in rivers. If we're talking about the longest river in the world, that would be the Nile River in Africa. According to my sources, it's about 4,132 miles long. But if we measure greatness according to the volume of water in the river, we would choose the Amazon River in South America as the greatest. I'm told that approximately 20% of all the fresh water discharged in the world's oceans comes from the Amazon River. There is at least one other way we could measure greatness in a river. And that would be, it might be the river that most people depend on. And if that's how we measure it, the point could be made that the greatest river is the Yangtze River in China. It claims to be the third longest river in the world, and it's one of the busiest in commercial traffic. Also, its water pushes through the largest hydroelectric power station in the world. Now, having said all of that, I have to admit, I've sort of set you up this morning. You see, none of those is the greatest river in the world. And you will probably be amazed to hear that the river I'm going to talk about this morning doesn't hold water at all. Yet you can drink from it and be washed by it. The word river in our reading this morning, our gospel, Pastor Mark just read, serves as a metaphor of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 46 in the Old Testament speaks about this river when it says, quote, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy places where the Most High dwells." This river doesn't really have a formal name. We refer to it as the River of Life. It's the greatest river that there is because it flows from Christ, and from Christ it flows through us. You will not find the River of Life on any map. But don't get the idea that it's imaginary, because Jesus said it is for real. Jesus talked about it toward the end of what is known as the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles was a sacred festival held by the Jews that lasted 7 to 8 days, depending on what source you use. And during this time, the people lived in tents, or booths. The booths, that's another name for temporary shelters. Why did they do that? They did it to remind themselves of the time when their forefathers had wandered through the wilderness and lived in it. And God had done some things to provide for them as far as food and water was concerned. The Feast of the Tabernacles was held toward the completion of the harvest. And it was a joyous time. People celebrated. They celebrated both how God had provided for their ancestors and how during that particular year He had provided for them also. Now that you know the setting for this, hopefully you can better understand that on the last great day of the feast, Jesus steps up and he says something probably not understood by many people to point people to a higher level of understanding. You see, there was a lot of attention given to water during this festival, various rites. So Jesus cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." And our gospel reading makes it clear that he is linking the water there to the Spirit. And he tells us that the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, if you're following the reading closely, you might wonder about that. Now, in verse 39, it says the Spirit had not yet been given. But that does not mean that the Spirit was not yet in existence or operative in the world. He certainly was. John himself had spoken of the Spirit's effect upon Jesus Christ. But the full effect of the Holy Spirit and his work in the dawning kingdom was to follow the completed work of Jesus Christ. And it was timed to be after our Lord's ascension into heaven. And of course we see that happen on the day of Pentecost. We heard the reading from Acts 2 this morning. The disciples had been told by Jesus that they would receive power from on high. And we are told in Acts 2 that this happened in dramatic fashion. There was a loud sound like a mighty rushing wind. And divided tongues of fire came and rested on each of them there. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result of this was that they had the incredible gift of speaking the gospel in other languages. There were people there from all over that spoke different languages, distant places included, and they could hear the gospel in their own language. Now, this, of course, was amazing and dramatic, but it's also very important for us to realize that this also marked a change in God's relationship with his people. Not only did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is still coming to people today. The Holy Spirit is leading the church of Jesus Christ today. The Holy Spirit has come to us also. Don't doubt that. We don't have to see something spectacular to know that we have received the Holy Spirit also. The Word of God tells us that. In Acts 2, Peter says, quote, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." And the Apostle Paul addressed the church at Corinth, and he said this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? and that God's Spirit lives in you. Note that not only were the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit, but they received at least one gift. Maybe a lot more. We want to remember this, that the Holy Spirit does that to us also. He does that to all believers. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." And then he goes on to say, "Now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone." And the apostle then goes on to list all kinds of gifts. But this is not an exclusive list. There are more. There are many other gifts. There are even other lists that are not exactly the same in other parts of the Holy Scriptures. But he stresses that all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one as He wills. It's important we understand that. For Paul wants us to think of ourselves as important members of the body of Christ. Everyone, no matter what his gift or gifts are, is important to the body of Christ. Paul says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." There you have it. Almost the very words of Jesus in the Gospel today, when he talked about drinking of Him. Now we started the message today with a question. And I'm going to end it with several questions. But only you can best answer these questions. Question number one. What gift or gifts do you have? Question number two. How are you using your gift or gifts to serve the Lord? Question number three, as you look at our mission station, our church at St. Mark here, do you see any gaps or holes or something that remains to be done that we're not doing? If so, are you capable of filling that gap? And let's not judge each other. The Bible says examine yourself. That's what we should do. We should each judge ourselves. Now, if you're sort of in the dark as to what I'm talking about this morning, maybe you'd like to attend a class. We can have a class where we study the gifts the Holy Spirit gives and try to identify some of the gifts we have. Our former president, Nick Nicholson, who is now gone to be with the Lord, was really interested in this, and he taught some classes on the subject. We can do that. We can do that again. Let Pastor Mark or myself know, and we'll try and fit a class in down the road. Good times are fine. parties are fine. The joy in celebrating at the Feast of the Tabernacles is fine. But you know what? Joy quickly dies down after our parties. Jesus offers people something a lot more permanent when He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He offers us something that makes our heart glad. He offers us something that refreshes us during our journey in this world. He offers us something that sustains us no matter what comes our way. And some people here this morning know what I'm talking about personally. The river of life is not only awesome because it flows from Christ, it's awesome because it flows through every Christian that we may be a blessing to others. The Holy Spirit equips and empowers people to share God's blessings. You may have the gift of encouragement. That's no small thing. Somebody called me to encourage me this week. I needed that. It's not a small thing at all. You may have the gift of leadership. You may have one of the gifts of showing mercy. There's a number of them. Or some other gift. Jesus said, whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. And these gifts that we have from the Holy Spirit should be welling up inside of us like floodwaters, eager to go over the banks and wash over the lives of other people with blessings. And if that is what they are doing in your life, others are being blessed. Glory is being brought to God's name, and you will be blessed also. Let's all do it. Let's all go along with the flow and swim in the river of life and be led by the Holy Spirit and see what happens. Can you imagine what the ministry at St. Mark would be like if all of us wanted to be on board on this? To God be the glory. Amen.